Wonderful. Thank you, ladies. And these ladies have traveled quite a bit here over the last month or so. They've been in several churches. Brother Thompson has kind of been the staff member in charge of the group. Brother Reed has been with the group a couple of times to present the college. We've had some churches desiring to take the Bible college on for support. And so they're in quite a few churches, and we're in the process of scheduling others coming up here in the next several months. And then, of course, through the summer, we're going to look at trying to schedule some churches as well. Take your Bible, if you would, please. We're going to look at quite a bit of Scripture here to begin with. Romans chapter 11, 1 Corinthians 1, 2 Thessalonians 1, 2 Peter 1. That's pretty easy to remember. A lot of ones here. Romans 11, 1 Corinthians 1, 2 Thessalonians 1, 2 Peter 1. Now, while you're taking time to turn there, let me remind you that in our Wednesday studies, and we'll wrap this thing up tonight, in our Wednesday studies, we've been studying about the church in the last days. You know, I don't know about you folks, but I'm just not willing to send up the white flag and say, well, this is just what it is. It's just the spirit of Antichrist everywhere. And so let's just go ahead and coast into heaven. I'm not willing to do that. Because there's still people that need to be saved. There's still people, listen now, there's still people that want to do right. There still are people that want to worship. There are people that want to separate from the world. They don't want to be conformed to the world. They're willing to be transformed into and be conformed into the image of His dear Son. So there are people out there that actually want to serve God. And so I'm not willing to send the white flag up just to say, well, the world is wicked. Here we are in the days of Noah. Now listen, we've already gone through all of that, right? We understand the context in which that was given. Amen, preacher. How many times you hear people say, oh, well, we're in the days of Noah. Oh, no. Now, we're not even close to what it is going to be. Now, let me tell you something. Now, you get into the tribulation, now you're getting real close to the days of Noah. Because there's lawlessness, absolute lawlessness. And here today, we actually have some semblance of sanity, whether you believe it or not. There is some semblance of sanity in our day. Now you say, preacher, is anything standing in the way of the coming of Jesus Christ? Not a thing I can see from Scripture. Listen, the Lord could come back today and still come right in line with the Word of God. But where does the church fit in? Well, we've learned in our studies that we have a charge from God. Remember what the charge was? Preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. You know why I think you threw that little word doctrine in there? Because so many people are messed up on their doctrine today. And as we see the coming of Jesus getting closer and closer, doctrine is starting, and I'm talking about pure doctrine, folks, is starting to fade more and more into obscurity, and people don't even know what they believe anymore. So they just swing with every wind of doctrine. He said, that's a sign of the last days. He said, but as far as the church is concerned, the charge is preach the Word. Well, we learned a couple of Wednesday nights ago that we also have a challenge, that if we're going to preach the Word, then we're going to have to endure the world. Because the world's not going to like the message that we have. Because the message the church has isn't socially acceptable. Amen. And because it's not socially acceptable, not very many people are going to embrace it. So if we're going to preach the Word, and I'm talking about the whole counsel of God, we're going to preach what's right, we're going to preach what's wrong. And you know what? We're going to preach on sin. There still is a hell. There still is a God who is coming back, and there is a judgment. Okay? And every believer is going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Every lost man and lost woman is going to stand at the great white throne judgment. We're all going to stand before God one day. It's in the book. So we're going to preach that. Tonight, I want to finish up this little series on the church of the last days. And I want to talk to you tonight about the call of the church in the last days. And here's the call. The charge is preach the word. The challenge, endure the world. The call is do the work. Do the work. Take your Bible, if you found your place there in all those places. Romans 11, let's stand together. Now listen, the context that we're about to read here, we're not going to be able to read everything, we're going to read one verse. But if you go back and see what the context here, Paul is making a reference here in Romans chapter 11 about the people of God and how the people of God withdrew themselves from the Lord and withdrew themselves from the truth. Now listen, he says regardless of whether they withdrew themselves from the truth, they're still the people of God. And then he makes this statement, look at it, verse 29. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Now listen, contextually, he's talking about Israel. Contextually, he's talking about the Jews. He said, my people, I don't care how bad they've gotten, they're still mine. And he said, that calling and the gifts are without repentance. Now, but you know something? The good news is this. As a child of God, one day when I got born again, I got grafted into that family. Amen. And so did you if you got sincerely born again. You got grafted in by the grace of God as a Gentile into the Jewish tree. And listen, today I'm a child of God. Thank God. Because listen, folks, you realize if the Jews hadn't rejected Jesus, we wouldn't have gotten the gospel. But because he came into his own and his own received him not, the gospel came to us. And we had the opportunity to be saved. So he says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Specifically, contextually, he's talking about the Jews. But can I say, to making application, that's talking about us too. That's talking about that the calling of God. God has a call, not only of salvation, but he's got a call of service on the church of the living God. Now, take your Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 26. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse number 26. Look at what it says. Paul, speaking to the Corinthian Christians, says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now, wait a minute. You say, preacher, wait a minute. I thought everybody had opportunity to be saved. They do. It's just not very many people are going to respond to it. He says, and many times, many of the people that he just listed are the ones, many times, who will not respond, not just to the call of salvation, but neither to the call of service. He says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of this world, or of the world, to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. I've got circled in my Bible, foolish things, weak things, base things, despised. Guess who that is? That's us. That's who he's talking about. He's talking about not just those that are called to salvation, but those that are called and said, listen, I'm going to serve God. You know what you're going to be? Despised. What you're going to be, you're going to find out that God takes the foolish things, what the world deems foolishness, and he's going to use that to reach the world and confound the wise. 2 Thessalonians 1. All right, let's take a look there. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1, and look at verse number 11. Wherefore, also Paul says, we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Now, did you notice there, he says that God would count you, that's not only me as an individual, but us as a church, worthy of, does your Bible say, this calling? That means, folks, church, we've got a specific call upon Trinity Baptist Church to reach the DFW area for Christ. We have a specific call in our life to reach a specific area here and then abroad as well. And then 2 Peter chapter 1, I want us to read this verse out loud together because I want it to sink in. Because I'm going to use this kind of to launch from tonight. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 10. We're going to read this verse together, pausing at the punctuation marks. Are you ready? Verse number 10, read with me. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Oh boy, I like that, don't you? God has a promise. He said, you do and fulfill the calling upon your life as an individual and as your church collectively. He said, let me tell you something. You shall never fall. You shall never want. He says, but you know what it's going to take? It's going to take diligence, and we got to make our calling. Did you notice he separated calling and election from each other? He said, because salvation consists of not just a calling to be saved, but a calling to service. And may I say to you, church, tonight, the call of the church of the last days is do the work. Do the work. Not just preach the word. Not just endure the world. He said, but somebody's got to do the work. Do the work. Father, bless the few moments that we have. Thank you for the privilege of being able to be in church in Christ's name. Amen. You can be seated. Let me ask you a few questions. First of all, what is a call of God? When the Scripture talks about God calling us to something or that we're to give diligence to make our calling sure, what is the call of God? Well, first of all, if we're going to find out what God's calling us to do, we probably need to find out what interests God, right? Because whatever interests Him is probably what He's going to call us to do in ministry. Let me ask you this question. Why is God calling? All right, let's ask ourselves the question, what is the call of God? And then number two, why is He calling? And then here's my third question, when does God call? Well, the time's running out, folks. The call is out now. How many of you have caller ID? Huh? Now listen to me. Many times, you can shake your head, yay, because you know it's true. When some people call, there's a process your mind runs through, right? First thing, listen to me, the first thing you do is you always look to see who's calling. We always check out who's calling. Now, let me tell you what that does. That determines whether we're going to answer or not. Or, like I've got on my new phone, you can just hit decline. Now, I haven't done that but once. But usually, you could take your phone, you can look on there, and it says what whoever that is calling and their number. And you immediately in your mind, you decide, I'm either going to take this call or I'm going to hit decline. Come on, help me out. You do that, don't you? Yeah, just like everybody else does. Whether you answer the phone depends on who's calling. So you always look to see, okay, I wonder who's calling. And then the next thing that runs across your mind is, in a split second, why are they calling? Right? You look at your caller ID. You see who's calling, and the next thing you ask yourself, I wonder why they're calling me. I wonder what they want. I wonder what they're calling me this time of night for. And then the third thing that goes through your mind is, I wonder what the content of the call is. I wonder if it's good or bad. Come on, help me out. You know you do that, right? We all do. First thing we do, we check out who's calling. Then we wonder why they're calling, and then we think, man, I wonder if this is good or bad. Listen to me, church. Can I tell you this? That's the way most of us live. When God speaks to us, first thing we do, we want to know who's calling. Oh, it's God. Decline. Ain't got time for that. He says, but wait a minute. You don't understand. I've got some good news for you. Well, you know what, really? Last time the content I got from a message, I didn't like it. So, you know what we do? We either put it on silent, and God's continued constantly. Listen, man, God's tried to get me to do something. So what we do is we don't cut the ringer off. You say, oh, preacher, people don't do that. Oh, sure they do. They treat God just like we treat most of our phone calls. God's calling. Why? Because He's got a purpose. Now listen to me, folks. What's going to happen one day? Somebody's going to call you and going to say, I don't want to get on the phone with them because every time I get on the phone with them, I can't ever get off. And so, you know, we hit decline, and the problem is they're calling to tell you there's an emergency. You see, you don't know what the message is. What happens is every time where God speaks to us, we're always afraid God's going to ask us to do something that's going to stretch us too far. Or He's always going to make an appeal to us to do something or call us to something as a church or as an individual that is going to stretch us beyond the way that we want to be stretched or stretch us beyond our desires or our comfort zone. We kind of like our little nest, don't we? And we don't want God trying to push us out to extend ourselves to do something great here in these last days. You know, the word call or the word calling is used almost exclusively in the New Testament as meaning an invitation. Now, has God ever twisted anybody's arm to do anything? Anybody? Never twisted my arm. But you know what? Many times, He certainly extends a lot of invitations, though, doesn't He? And that's what He's doing here, church. He said, now, church, in the last days, preach the word, endure the world. He says, now, who's going to do the work for me? He says, because the church that'll do the work for me, that's where the Shekinah glory is going to be. That's where the power of God's going to be. Now, folks, I don't know about you, but you see these swallow glands in my mouth right here? I hunger and thirst for that. I thirst for the power of God. Listen, I don't know about you. I'm tired of reading books about what God has done. I want to know what God is doing right now. Because we serve the same God yesterday, today, forever, and what He did in the 50s and the 60s and Brother Ogden in the 70s, He can do it today. He's just looking for somebody to do the work. That's all He's looking for. Who's going to do the work? Time's running out. Hey, folks, He's got an invitation. He's inviting. I wonder how many churches in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, independent Baptist churches, He's invited. Come on, come on. Come on, guys. I want to put my power there. I want to put my hand there. I want the church to go, no, no, God, you don't understand. We kind of like our four no more. We don't want to grow. Because, by the way, when you get to be a big church, you kind of lose that personal atmosphere. You know what that is, folks? That's an excuse not to work. That's all that is. Because let me tell you something. You know what happens when the people of God put their mind to work? You grow. That's what happens. And God wants the church to grow. He wants the church to flourish. Hey, listen, if the church grows, you know what God will do? He'll put enough people in place of leadership to maintain and grow and do the things that are necessary to operate that ministry. He'll put them there. It's not up to one individual. Hey, God is inviting the church to please return to Him with a heart full of dedication and meditation on His Word and participation in the things of God. Listen, remember when Solomon was just a young guy, built the temple of God? Boy, you ought to go read some of the prayers that guy prayed. Incredible. A lot of times when Solomon was in his heyday, he'd pray, and I'm telling you, the power of God came down. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, if you'll remember, Solomon prayed and said, Lord, we'll keep your commandments, we'll do your will, and God said, that's fine. He said, because if you do it, I'll bless you. He says, and in your day of trouble, this is what He said, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and do what? Pray and seek my face and, come on, help me out, and what? And turn from their wicked ways, then, God says, will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their, come on, help me now, land. You see, that is a promise from God. You say, can you interpret that? Yeah, God says, if you will, I will. It's very simple. He says, if you'll do the work, I'll give the power. I'll grow the church. I'll do the things and put the things in place necessary to see things expand. Now, when you get in the Scriptures, you'll find out that in some places in the Bible, God uses the term calling as an invitation for sinners to be saved. For instance, Matthew 22:14. For many are called, but few are chosen. Let me ask you, God want everybody to be saved? All right, help me out. Is everybody going to be saved? No, they're not. But He wants them to be saved, right? All right, so the call is out for salvation. So in some places, he's giving the invitation to sinners to be saved. Now, in some places in Scripture, God is calling or giving the invitation of the saved to repent. For instance, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. Peter says, "But as we which hath called you, or but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation." So some places God's calling believers to repentance to get right in their walk and relationship. And then some places God is calling the saints to service, to do the work. Like 2 Timothy 1:9, here's what Timothy or Paul said, "Who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace." God's got an idea of how he wants things done. And you know what? If we'll fall in line with how God wants things done, you know what will happen? God will come down in this place in such a way that you and I have never seen in the history of this church. And there's a call. Hey, the charge is preach the word. The challenge is, then if you do that, you've got to endure the world. But he said, now here's the call. Do the work. He said, you do the work, I'm coming down. Go check me out. Every time the work was done, God came. Remember when Moses finished the tabernacle? What happened? God came, right? Remember when Solomon finished the temple? What happened? God came. Hey, listen, many times God showed up when the people did the work. Now, I want you to think about some things tonight. The call to the church in the last days. We know that there are certain things that we know, no question about it. I mean, we already know they're logged in our head. First of all, every believer is called to be a witness, right? Come on, hit me. I said every believer is called to be a witness. That means there's not a person that's been truly born again that is able to get out of that call. God has called us to be a mouthpiece for Him to the world. Well, we also know that not only are we called to be a witness, we're also called to give and sacrifice. Boy, you know what would do some of us good? It'd do some of us good to get some background and go back to the Old Testament and find out what the people of God gave and how the people of God sacrificed. See, a lot of times we take the Old Testament and say, "I don't want to go to the Old Testament. I just don't understand the Old Testament." And then you know what I'll do? I'll see people sitting around reading some kind of physics book. Now, I'm just kidding. I don't know if they're reading a physics book or not. But I'm just telling you, you know, it's amazing. We understand what we want to understand. Come on. We do. We can go pick a book up, may know nothing about it, and we'll sit there and boy, we just get enthralled with it. And we pick the Bible. Oh, the Old Testament's too hard. It'd be good for some of us to go back and check out in the Old Testament how the people of God sacrificed. And see what we're to be doing today and how we match up with what they did. You know what you're going to find? We don't even come close, folks, to doing and sacrificing like many of those people did. So we're called. We know that every believer is called to be a witness. Every believer is called to give and sacrifice. And then we know that every believer is called to be a people of prayer. A person of prayer. We know all of that. We know that, and it's all logged in. We've heard it preached on 1,000 times, right? So we know that those things are the calling of God. You say, okay, preacher, so beyond this, all right, we know about prayer and Bible and all. Beyond this, how much more does the call of God include the church? Why, to what extent now do we need to go as a church from what God, about God's calling? Take your Bible, go to Philippians 3:14. I want you to notice something here the Apostle Paul said. You've seen it 100 times. Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 14. Philippians 3:14. Paul said, "I press toward the mark." Now listen, for the prize of not just the calling, it says the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul said there is something that is so far above the mediocre Christian life. He said there's a calling, a high calling. It's the second mile life. It's the church that says, listen, I'm going to do the work. I'm not just going to preach the word. I understand I'm going to have to endure the world, but I'm going to have to do the work. He says, boy, that's what I'm looking for. me ask you this. Did Paul do the work? Was he okay in saying that he was pressing toward the high calling of God? Yeah, that's what we're to be doing, church. We're to be pressing. There's a greater call than anything in this world, and it's the call of God to participate in the work of God. Well, jot these three things down and I'm done. Okay? Here's what God is calling the church of the last days. Okay, you say, preacher, what is God calling the church of the last days to? Well, take your Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's look at them right quick. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. Here it is. First thing the church of the last days is called to be. Look what it says. Paul says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Look at that word right there, ambassador. You go into Romans chapter 1, verse 7, don't turn there. But it talks about there, Paul again says that we are called to be saints. That there is a calling upon not just the church, but our individual lives to go over and above board where we are in mediocrity. Most people are willing to live there. But he says that we're called to be an ambassador, folks. We're called, listen, ambassadors don't stay home. Did you ever notice that? They don't stay home. What do ambassadors do? They go. Is that right? Remember our ambassador not too long ago? It was Libya, right? Lost his life. But let me say something to you. Do you know every ambassador, when they leave this country and go somewhere, understand there's risk involved? Every one of them. Do you know that every missionary that leaves the States and goes understands there is a level of risk involved? Am I right, Brother Ingram? Always a level of risk involved. You go to a foreign country, you'll find out, did you know that though a lot of the world, they just don't like Americans for some reason. They just don't. And we haven't done anything to them. They just don't like us because, you know what, all they see on TV is that we're just filthy rich. And that's all they see. But yet God, listen church, God has called us to be an ambassador. You say, preacher, what is an ambassador? Well, a couple of things here. Let me jot these things down. First of all, an ambassador manages the concerns of the king. An ambassador manages the concerns of the king. You know what he is? He's basically a liaison between the president and the officials of a foreign country. He kind of just communicates the heartbeat of what the king, which, listen now, what he's basically doing, he's basically speaking on behalf of the king. That's what he's doing. And if the king was there, whatever the ambassador says, the king would have said the same thing. Whatever the ambassador does, the king would have done the same thing. That's what an ambassador does. He knows the heart of the king so well that he just speaks the words that the king would speak if he were there. But what he does, he also represents the dignity and power of the head. Listen, when the ambassador shows up, immediately, know that's the ambassador to America right there. And you know that most everybody in a lot of foreign countries, they know where the American embassy is. Come on, help me out. They know where it is. You know why? Because that's their ticket over here. And they're going to have to go through there. They know where the American embassy is. So you know what? They're very familiar that, hey, recognize who the American ambassadors are. Can I say, I wonder how many of God's ambassadors are recognizable. I wonder how many of the people of God are recognizable by other people and say, you know what? I don't know who that is, but that's an ambassador of God right there. I don't know their name, but that may be my ticket to joy right there. That person is an ambassador. You see, church, an ambassador is called to do what the head would do if he was there. Listen to this. Webster's defined an ambassador as this. He said an ambassador is to make known the will of the sovereign as well as manage everything affecting the interest of the sovereign among the people to whom he sent. You know what that is? That's an incredible responsibility. But you know that's our calling in these last days, is to be an ambassador. Listen, if the world ever needed an ambassador for Christ, they need one now. Because, listen, most of the world can't tell who the believers are and who not. But listen, if it was left up to the way most of us look, talk, and where we go, they'd never know. Something's got to change, right? The world needs to know who the ambassadors are. Hey, church, listen. First of all, we're to be the mouthpiece of God. You know, when we go someplace, we ought to be willing to speak up for Jesus. We ought to be willing to speak up a good word for Christ. Hey, we are the earthly display of God, and what people see in you may be the only thing that they ever see as far as God is concerned. That may be it. And if they listen, if they know that you're a believer, the way we act, the way we talk, what we do, that may be as close to God as they ever see. We are a display. Listen, we are the testimony of God in this world. You know what this world needs right now? It needs visual aids. Yeah, that's what it needs. It needs some visuals to see, oh, this is a Christian. This is a believer. Oh, this is an ambassador for Christ. But that's what we're called to be. We're called to be an ambassador, a representative of God. Here's the next thing we're called to be. Take your Bible now, if you would, and go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Go to 1 Thessalonians 3. Let me show you the church of the last days. Not only are we called to be an ambassador, a representative, but look at this. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 3. We're going to go ahead and skip. I'd like to go, but for sake of time, we're going to skip down to verse 3. Paul says that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. So not only is the church of the last days going to be called to be an ambassador, but we're going to be called to be afflicted. Now, we don't like that part. Now, we like the ambassador part because somebody might pat us on the back. But we don't like the part about the affliction. Wait a minute. Affliction? Now, listen, folks, here's what we think. Say, preacher, I don't know about that affliction. Now listen, here's what we got in our mind. We think that biblical affliction and what he's talking about here in 2013 is that somebody's going to come out and stone you or burn you at the stake tomorrow. I doubt very seriously that's going to happen. And by the way, I don't foresee that happening to anybody in here anytime real soon. You say, so what affliction is he talking about here? I doubt very seriously he's talking about stoning. Oh, by the way, although some of our forefathers got it, yeah, in their day, you know what? Did you know the scripture was talking about, many of it was talking about them. You go read Hebrews chapter 11, you know what? It was talking about some of them. You said, but 2013, I don't know anything about stoning, do you? Man, I tell you one thing, somebody picked up a rock and got ready and said, you know what, you're a Christian? Because if all you got to do is say, I'm going to chunk this rock, you must go, oh. And yet our forefathers stood there and took it and refused to back up. They were burned at the stake. They refused to recant their faith in Christ. Isn't it amazing how we'll back up? Our forefathers stood in the face of stoning, in the face of being burned at the stake, and all it takes for us to back up today is somebody to call us one name. Ooh, you rude person. How ugly, mean, hateful, intolerant individual. You insulted me. You know what? Our forefathers, I wonder if they got insulted. Yeah, they got insulted and stoned. You see, what I'm saying to you, church, is listen, the church of the last days, we are called to be afflicted. Often, like I said, oftentimes, many times, we look at affliction as a stoning or being burned at the stake. But you know what? That word affliction means to be distressed. It means to be under pressure. Do you know the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today is under a lot of pressure? You say, like what? Like to accept people behind the pulpit that aren't qualified? A lot of pressure to accept that. A lot of pressure to just embrace whatever the world dictates for the church. But listen, if we're going to be called to be afflicted, church, then what's going to happen is we're going to have to sacrifice our passions for His passions. We're going to have to give up some of our passions and then be connected to His passion. You know what Jesus' number one passion was? People. Number one passion was people. Number one passion was souls. Hey, you know what else we may have to be afflicted with? We may have to be afflicted and may have to endure some humanistic philosophy of our day. And boy, it's out there by the tons. Oh yeah. It's out there like crazy. But you know what else we may have to be afflicted with as a church? We may have to deal with the day-to-day restrictions that increase against the church ministry every single day. Do you know a lot of our people, listen to me, do you know a lot of our people have gone out in public places and witnessed and passed tracts out and are being told, you can't do that here. Huh? What are you talking about? Can't do that here. I told one guy, and I wasn't trying to be unkind, I told one that I was out there passing some tracts and talking to people, and I was on the sidewalk. He said, you can't do that here. I said, why not? He said, because we said so. I said, no. I said, you don't understand. I paid for this sidewalk. Boy, he didn't like that. He said, what do you mean you paid? I said, yeah, my tax dollar, I paid for this sidewalk. And I beat it. Now, he didn't beat it. You know what he did? While I was trying to talk to people, he stood about that far from me. Now, listen, folks. We think that that's terrible, awful. No, that's just affliction. That's just resistance. It's nothing compared to what our forefathers faced. But we're going to have to deal with it. Hey, we're going to have to deal with threats of penalties that affect our operation and all the things that politicians are doing and on and on and on. I don't have time to go into that. All I'm saying is the church of the last day, we're called to be ambassadors and we're called to be afflicted. Here's the last thing we're called to do. Take your Bible, Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10. Turn there real quick. We'll be done. Hebrews 10 and verse 25. You'll recognize it. You've heard it quoted a thousand times. Hebrews 10, verse 25. Not forsaking the, what does your Bible say there? Assembling of yourselves, of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more. Oh, look at this now. Interesting. Look. As you see what? What day? The last day. The end day. The time when, listen, when all believers will be caught up in the air to meet the Lord. He says, listen, we don't need less church, folks. We need more church. He says we're called to be ambassadors. We're called to be afflicted. Listen now, in the last days, we're called to assemble. We need to assemble. We need to get together, folks. Listen, you say, like for what, preacher? Well, look what he said. Look at verse 22. He said, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You know what he's building toward in verse 22? He's building toward verse 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Why? Because when we come together, you know what we need to do in the last days? Worship. You know what we need to do more of? Praising God. Yeah. That's what we need to be doing. And yet, isn't it amazing how the majority of churches are doing less and less worship and less praise. And yet the Scripture says we need to be doing more of that. There needs to be more worship. There needs to be more praise. It needs to be open. Look what he says in verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Listen, not only are we to assemble to do more worship and more praise, but listen, we're to assemble to teach and establish pure doctrine. We're to keep the doctrine clean and pure. Hey, the church, we're to assemble together, church, to prepare the people with the tools so that we can identify heresy. You know where you get that? You get that when you assemble. Hey, we need to assemble together to ensure the people that we have the truth and there is no other. And we got it right here. You know where you get that? You get that when you assemble. That's where you get that from. You know why people jump from version to version? I promise you. I promise you. What's happening is they're not doing much assembling. They're not being under much preaching because they're goes through preaching. We know that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And if you cut off everything but Sunday morning service, then guess what you get? Come on, help me. You know what you get? You get people running with every wind of doctrine. Why? Because they're doing less and less worship, less and less praise, less and less teaching, less and less establishing, ensuring the people, and giving the people the tools they need. Hey, listen, we need to assemble to equip the people with a foundation to build on. Hey, we need the foundation of the Word of God. You know what your family needs to be built on? The book. You know what your business needs to be built on? The book. You know what this church is supposed to be built on? The book. You know where we learn that? When we assemble. He says, you need to do more as you see the day approaching. You know what he's talking to? He's talking to the church of the last day. We don't need to be doing less assembling. We need to do more assembling. Look what he did quickly in verse 24. He said, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. You know what one of the great things that happens when you assemble, when you come to church? You get to provoke other people. In other words, incite them to action, to love and good works. In other words, to let them know there's a need. Hey, let's go visit so-and-so. There's a need there. Hey, let's go over here. We got a little widow lady in our church and she needs some repairs done in her house. Let's just go do it. Hey, we got a little lady right over here, or a little man over here. We got this person. Hey, listen, they're having some struggles right now. Let's put some tires on their car. Glory to God. You know where you find that kind of stuff? When you assemble. You don't find that stuff sitting in your recliner drinking tea watching shows. Now, you don't get that. Let me tell you where you would get this idea. You get caring for people when you assemble. And we need to reach out to struggling people. Hey, listen, folks, Christians have the reputation. Now, listen to me. Of killing their wounded. Yeah. That's the reason most of the religions of the world look at us and they shake their head. What's going on with you people? Instead of nurturing them back to health so that they can fight again another day. One last thing, look at it. He says, assemble ourselves together, but exhorting one another. Because you know what? It can be sometimes times can get pretty depressing, can't they? Finances can get pretty slim. Family trials can surface. Church trials can surface. Hey, listen, believers will fall by the wayside. Demas did. But you know, Paul didn't say, well, that's what I thought. Here's Demas, went back to the world. What good is it? Look, I might as well just throw the hat in. I'm done. Hey, folks, that's only one guy. Listen, I'm not going to throw the hat in. I'm not quitting God for one person ever. One person, listen, I love him. And did Paul love Demas? Yeah. It grieved him. But he said, he's forsaken me, having loved this world. Now, let's finish this up and say this. The power of the spoken word of encouragement has no price tag. You can't put a price tag on that. You know where you get that? You get that when you assemble, when you come together. That's the reason I always scratch my head, Brother Ogden. Well, a lot of times when people say, well, preacher, you know what? I think we're just going to move on there. We just don't connect with anybody at church. And the first thing I say is, well, you know what? You're never here. No wonder you don't connect with anybody. You're never here. How can you? And you know what? You're not going to connect at the next church either, or the next one, or the next one. You see, what I'm saying is, you get that when you assemble. Hey, listen to this, Proverbs 25:11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. You ever put your mind around that? You know what he's saying? He said, you know what? Those are the kind of things that have some value to it. Now, the need for the church of the last days is we're to intensify our efforts, not back off. We're to intensify our efforts. We're to crucify our affections that we can fulfill God's purpose through Trinity Baptist Church. Here it is. Church of the last days. Here's the charge. Preach the word. Here's the challenge. If we're going to preach the word, what's going to happen, church? We're going to have to endure the world because they ain't going to be real happy about it. And then he said, here's the call. Is somebody going to do the work? Who's going to do the work? Is it going to be us? He said, if you do, Trinity Baptist Church, he said, I'll fill this place with the power of God. I'll fill that bottom floor that time. He said, I'll fill this thing 3 services a Sunday. He said, but somebody's going to have to do the work. Oh, is that what we're going to do? Because if we're willing to, God says, I'll come and meet with you. Listen, folks, we are in the last days of the last days. Let's just preach the word. How about it? Let's endure the world, but let's do the work as well. Father, would you bless us now in the time that we've had together? What great opportunities we have in 2013 for what you have in store for us. So we pray that you'd meet with us and help us as a church to do the will of God. Now, with heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder how many can say, Preacher, I'm saved.